Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Nice to have you back with us here on Close Up Talk Radio. It's my pleasure to be with you and to introduce you to a fascinating guest who is, she has a tremendous business background, and now she is an executive coach helping people become better leaders. It's an amazing story. I think you're going to find her fascinating. And if you feel like you could benefit from coaching in a leadership role, this is someone I think you should pay close attention to and listen to her. I'm going to give you a website, and you will be able to get in direct contact with her. But in the meantime, I'm going to have the pleasure of chatting with you, with her rather, tell you a little bit about her and her background, and then we'll discuss how she goes about helping people become better leaders and, you know, better executives, just better. And that's the way to put it. But as she puts it, a leader's actions are really always on display, and you know that. And that's why it's essential for leaders to lead with integrity. And what is most important in a leadership role is taking care of the team. It's not to make money at the expense of the team. The money is the result of doing everything right. Kimberly Hambrick is our guest. She's a leadership development and growth coach, and she's the founder of Kimberly Hambrick Consulting. She's based in Winfield, West Virginia, and has a great story, as I was telling you. And Kimberly, as Kimberly puts it, she empowers leaders to empower other leaders. It's about living into their focus and their full potential to make a difference in the world instead of just climbing up the corporate ladder. She spent 30 years in the corporate leadership roles for educational consulting organizations before she stepped out on her own. And today she works with many successful women leaders like her who have reached a point in their career when they just want something more. And they need a little guidance and help in order to get there. Kimberly sees people's potential, and she helps them see that themselves. As she puts it, it's about helping people go beyond thinking about what's next and actually do it. She gets a big kick out of seeing people push themselves and grow. And I love she's known as the BS Buster. She's helping people bust through their BS, which is their belief system. Aha, caught you there, didn't we? Anyway, let's bring Kimberly on right now. It's a great pleasure to have her with us. Dr. Kimberly Hambrick. Dr. Kimberly Hambrick, welcome. Nice to have you with us here on Close Up Talk Radio. How are you today?
Oh, I am wonderful, and thank you, Doug. It's so just great to talk with you and your listeners.
Well, you know, it's great to have you here. I love talking with people like you who have you know, you've been through the routine, you've been a successful executive, and you've helped others, and then finally you've reached a point where you go out on your own and you leave the corporate arena and become a coach, really, basically to help others. I always find it interesting to hear a little bit about what coaches have done before they became a coach. I pointed out you've been in 30 years of experience. Talk to me a little bit about it. Tell me what you did before you decided to become a coach. Let's go back, okay?
Absolutely. So most of my corporate career was as an educational consultant. And what that means is I worked with companies where I would do business development. I wrote proposals. I brought in multi-year, multi-million dollar projects. It was very successful. And I was always in, probably since the early 90s, a leadership role. And I would do training and professional development and research and evaluation. You know, I was the kind of person that grew up sitting in the corner running statistics and then started to see the value of developing and growing a team. And that's really what my work was. I'd always been in a leadership role. I never had a problem. I work with people sometimes and they say, I'm not a people manager. I managed people. I helped them grow. And that's kind of where my work came. I started early on in the 90s and made it all the way up through the ranks of the corporate career.
Did you, by the way, ever have the benefit of a coach yourself?
Yes, absolutely. So I had one before I stepped out on my own. I was blessed in one organization to be coached and mentored by one of our board members with the company that I worked with. And as she put it, she saw something in me. And so she had just one-on-one sessions where we talked. She helped me figure out what my plan was. And I ultimately ended up leaving that organization. And I remember her telling me that when she had a conversation with the other board members, when they found out I was leaving, they kind of blamed her. And she said, that's not what we do. We want people to grow beyond us. And I've kind of taken that to heart. And that's how I look at people when I work with them as well.
Well, I think that's great. It's interesting how many coaches have never had a coach, but always wish they had someone like themselves, you know, to help them. You did have coaching that experience, and obviously you realize what a huge benefit it can be, and you had it early in your career. Well, good for you. So let's talk about the kind of people who come to you for advice and help. Primarily, how would you describe them? What is their position at this point? I mean, are they already successful, or are they trying to reach, you know, climb up the ladder? Are they stymied? I guess it's a little bit of everything, isn't it?
You took my response. I was going to say it depends. But to be perfectly honest, it does. It's working with what we refer to as emerging leaders, people who are early in their career or early into a leadership role. And they either have a desire to move ahead, or someone in their organization has tapped them to be the next tier of leadership. So I can start there with them. And I work with people who have had a successful career. I was very successful in my career, but I knew there was something more that I needed to do. And I wasn't going to be able to figure it out on my own without the guidance and assistance of a coach. And then getting to the people, the CEOs, who are looking at what's next after their corporate career. How do they build their legacy and add significance to others? And so it goes all the way up and down.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what happens when someone comes to you. And we're talking men and women both, right? Or do you focus more on women than men? It's both, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's both, yes.
How does it begin? Talk to me. When someone comes into your door for the first time, what happens?
I always start with an assessment. I want to kind of figure out where they are. I want to find out what's not working for them. So an example of a client that I had, they reached out to me, and they were very unhappy in their position, their corporate position. They felt like they were overlooked time after time. And they wanted to do something differently. And so that conversation started with, what is it that you want to do? Is there something that you could do within the company where you're at now, or is in a different position? And we start there, and I kind of try to figure out, what is it that they want? What's their ultimate plan or their goal? And then we build the coaching around that.
Well, you know, you do a leadership assessment, as I gather, because that's the way you point this out on your website. And one of the things you focus on initially is learning a leader's communication style, which is really interesting. You're interested in knowing about that. Talk to me why that's so important, and what do you learn?
Well, communication is the heart and soul of what we do and how we influence others. And knowing your communication style, so I am certified as a DISC trainer, and coach within the John Maxwell Corporation. And knowing how you communicate and how you like to receive communication helps you be more influential as a leader. It helps you build a better culture and morale. So, for example, I'm a very high energy person. And when you and I first started talking, we just jumped right into the conversation. I connect with people who don't just like to jump into a conversation. They need a little bit of time to warm up. And when I recognize that communication style in somebody, I adapt my communication style to meet theirs. And that's how the relationship develops. That's how the conversations go. It's not me talking at them. It's me talking with them in a way that they like to receive and communicate. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I understand and I know, it's a fact that a lot of people who get into leadership positions really don't have the leadership skills developed yet. They may have the potential, but they haven't developed those skills. You play a game with them called the leadership game. That sounds very intriguing. Tell me about that. What do you do?
Well, the leadership game happens a lot around a team environment, and it's really a great opportunity for a company to have an authentic conversation that's non-threatening. So, for example, there could be a question in there that talks about if your company were a superhero, who would it be? And it sounds like it's fun, but you get a little deep in those conversations. And so catching people in a relaxed environment where they can talk about the bigger issues and not feel threatened by it. And so that helps them open up and have the conversation. That's what this is really all about. If you are in a leadership role, you have to be open to the feedback of your team. You can't just go in and tell them what you want to do. You're not going to build a culture or a team if you do that. And this is just another way to get insights in a really quick, focused way that you wouldn't get any other way.
And what really is interesting is you have different versions of – you have a leadership game communications edition, and then you have a leadership game sales edition, obviously for sales executives, salesmen. That sounds very intriguing as well. Tell me a little bit about that. What's the communication edition like?
Well, the communication edition is going to focus a little bit more specifically on communication styles or ask questions along the lines of if you had to have a care and candor conversation, how would you go about doing that? A lot of people shy away from having that direct conversation. And you can have a direct conversation with people if you realize that we both want to win-win in it, and you want to have it with care and candor. The sales communication game is going to focus on different attributes of sales. A lot of people who are in sales, and it's changing, but a lot of people in sales, they'll call you up and they'll tell you what you need. And that's not how you do sales. You have to create a relationship. So the whole concept behind the questions in these different versions of the game is to get a conversation started, to get ideas flowing, to get information coming forward.
And you also give them tips on selling, negotiating, and closing. Three important, really important areas of sales. And, you know, I haven't heard that there are many people who go into sales. They've never read a book on how to sell. They've never been trained on selling. They just landed in the sales department, and they just kind of pick it up. Is that true? Do you find that to be true?
I think it's a mixture, and I think the same that could be said about people who make it into a leadership role. You had mentioned that earlier as well. A lot of people become leaders either because it's their time. They've been with a company for 20 years, and a position opens up, and you put that person in. A salesperson, someone goes into sales because they like talking to people. And you don't have to. We all have innate abilities that we bring out, but knowing what the process is. So if someone is wanting to get my attention, and this is a true story that happens a lot of times, people will reach out to me on LinkedIn to make a connection, and then they start selling to me. And so the person who says to me, I help older women look better in makeup. I'm not sure that's the sell opening door you want to open with, do you? I think you want to have a conversation with me to learn, is that even a need that I have? And that's where I think people in sales positions, they don't take the time to sit back and ask questions and be curious. Be curious by asking questions about the other person to find out what their needs truly are. Don't just go in with a sledgehammer and tell them what you need. They need.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I'm amazed by the various different ways you have strategized your training. You have different groups. You have selling skills, coaching skills, training, group training. You work a lot with groups. And you have, that's interesting, you have one that you call the mastermind group. What is that? What kind of training is that?
Well, the mastermind group is really based around Napoleon Hill's work, Think and Grow Rich. And the concept there that you bring together like-minded people to talk about issues. And so I run a lot of masterminds where the concept of a mastermind is if I'm leading it, I'm not teaching. I'm facilitating the conversation. I'm putting a question out there, and then the group talks about it. And so you learn by sharing your information, but you also learn by what other people are saying. My life, and I say this, we talked earlier, you asked me if I had a coach, and I mentioned the first one. Even as a coach, I continue to have coaches and have people speak into me. And I am currently a part of a mastermind group where I'm a participant. And it is truly empowering because if I have a real-life situation, I can bring it to the group. It's a group of people that listen, give me advice, give me suggestions. And you're not going to get that concentrated expertise any other way than you can within a mastermind group.
Sounds good. Sounds very good. By the way, you help people find their passion. How important is passion in success?
Oh, it's so important. When I think about my exit from the corporate world, I tell people that I overstayed my expiration date by a couple of years. And what I mean by that is I lost sight of me. I lost sight of what my true gifts were and how I could make a difference. And I was just kind of going through the motions. And I had a job, and I was getting paid. And there are a lot of people who go through their life that way until they retire. I was a part of a conversation recently where somebody had asked a couple people in the group, have you reached your true potential? And two people said yes. And the reason that they reached their true potential is that they had retired. And I was just thinking, that's so sad. We should be living into what it is we were put on this earth to do. What gets us up? What makes us want to chase the sun in the morning each and every day? And to me, that's where you know you're living with passion. And you're living in it daily.
Yeah, that's important. That's very important. By the way, how'd you get the nickname the BS Buster? It's not what it sounds like, but it's really cute. What does it mean?
Well, it does mean belief system, but it does have another. I'm not going to say it. Don't worry. But I really. Came up with it myself. A lot of the quirky ideas that I do were ideas that bubbled out. But where it came from, when I stepped away from corporate and started to look at some of the things that I wasn't quite doing right as a leader, so been in leadership roles, leadership coach, I say up front, perfectly imperfect, and I made some mistakes. And so when I started to do that internal work, and look inside of it, I found out that a lot of it was based on my own negative self-talk. So that's the BS swirl that happens. You can be in a conversation, and somebody says to you, hey, Doug, do you know what your problem is? Well, you didn't know you have a problem, but now you think you have a problem, and so that's the swirl. You're starting to believe what people were saying. So I knew I had to bust through my own belief system, or my own BS. And by doing that and changing my outlook and my mindset, it's just a way for me that I work with clients as well.
Okay. Well, the BS buster. Good for you. By the way, I know that we pointed out the Maxwell system. You were trained in that. How does that work? Tell me the importance of that and what the Maxwell method of selling really is all about. Talk a little bit about it and its approach to leadership.
Absolutely. So I would assume that most of your listeners know who John C. Maxwell is. He's truly the number one leadership expert nationally.
Right.
And
right.
About 4 years prior to learning that John Maxwell had a team, I had been trained and certified as a coach in a different program. And then I knew who John Maxwell was, but I didn't know he had a program. And so I invested in myself to be a part of the John Maxwell team, where I was trained as a speaker, leader, coach, and trainer. We have access to his resources and his materials. And why wouldn't I want to be part of his legacy and his expertise on how to do leadership? And one of the things that I absolutely love and respect about John, and I have said this to him before, that what he says, his teachings on face value can look very simple, but they're so profound. And for me, that's what speaks to me. We don't have to do a heavy lift to improve our leadership, but we have to focus inward first. And this is something that I really learned by being connected with John. The first person we lead is ourselves. And so leadership, if you will, is an inside-out game. When you get bigger on the inside, then you're able to work with others. And how that plays out in a leadership role, Doug, is a lot of people go into leadership and the focus is on them. They're looking for success. And success is when you're adding value to yourself. So being in a leadership role and I wanted to get up to the next rung on the ladder, that's me adding value to myself. But John talks about significance. And significance is when you add value to others. And once you understand that and once you realize that you're here to make a difference for others, that's where it all changed for me.
Yeah. Very interesting. Let's talk about some success stories of the people that who've come to you for help. And I know you hear back from them. You have, a lot of testimonials. Give me some examples of people who've come to you that really benefited from the kind of training that you offer. I don't need names, but just examples. Anything come to mind?
Oh, absolutely. I have two. So one was a continuation I started to share about a client who was unhappy in the position that she was in and was looking for another step up and had been pretty much beat down within her current work. And what we started was I needed her to take a look at what her strengths were and her skills were. And sometimes it's a very difficult mirror for people to look into. What are you good at? And where do you add value into the workforce? And then once you do that, ask others that you know what they think about you, and you want that gap to be close. You want your view of yourself and what others see. And I worked with her. She was going to apply for a position, and she got the position. And when she called me back, because she got her dream job, and when she called me back to tell me, what she said was she interviewed completely different for this position because she went in knowing what she brought to the position, what she could do for the company, and she led with that instead of waiting for them. And it was just a night and day difference with her. And some other work that I do with the emerging leaders, we do a year-long program where companies will pay for their next tier of leadership to go through the program. And, Doug, to see people come into the program in the first month or so not confident, not knowing that they can be a leader, and watching the transformation, I work closely with a person that can step up and lead a multi-year, multi-million dollar project now, and that was the furthest thing from her mind at the beginning of this year.
Really? Wow. Yeah. How often do you work with someone? And by the way, how long is a typical assignment for you? If you're with a company and they bring you in to help their team, that probably has a specified amount of time. But when you're coaching someone individually in their career and trying to lead them, you know, to become better, how long does it take generally?
Well, I will say for when I'm working with an individual client, I at least want a 3-month commitment. And why I say that is I don't have a magic pill. I don't have the silver bullet to make you a better person. When you work with a coach, you're putting the work in. I'm a guided facilitator to help you uncover where you want to go. And it takes a little bit of time to have those conversations and be consistent. I've had things in my life that I thought, you know, I mastered and I did well. And when I took my eye off of it, old habits started to come back. And so at least for an individual coaching, a minimum is 3 months. But I work with people as long as they want to. I don't work with people just to take their money. I work with people where they have a concrete goal on where they want to advance and progress. Working with organizations, as you said, it's different. It's based on their budgets and how they want to do it. I'm not a firm believer in going in and doing a one-day workshop. I've done that in my corporate career. And you don't make change in a one-day workshop. People need to understand what the expectations are, and then they have to know how to apply them. I joke every now and then, say I'm the new AAA, it's all about application. And you can't learn a new skill or a habit without having the opportunity to apply it and practice it, find out what doesn't work, tweak it, and then try again.
Well, you know, that all makes so much sense. Just definitely makes so much sense. One of the other questions I really wanted to kind of get an idea of, and I know you work, you know, at length with people. Now, we've had the COVID, you know, the pandemic has been, I assume you've been working primarily virtually with clients, but do you work in person with them as well? I mean, when you go into a company, into a group, I assume that's in person. But that, am I right there? Or do you do that virtually too?
It's been both. So before the pandemic, absolutely in person. But also virtually as well. That's one of the beautiful things about having systems that allow to do that. I can live in West Virginia, and I've had clients who were in Germany or the UK. So I go there without having to go there. But one of the things about COVID from a leadership perspective, and I say this when I talk about it, and I always say that it's all lowercase. When I say the leadership decisions that were made at the beginning and through COVID were fascinating, all lowercase. And what I mean by that is early on, you started, some of the clients that I was working with, the leaders, they thought this was going to blow over. The team was just going to be remote for a couple of weeks. And they were really struggling with what that looked like because that was uncomfortable for them. And then you go 6 months, 8 months, a year or more into it, and the work is still happening. The targets are being met. And one of the things that I saw happen were leaders understood that everybody was in the same storm, but in a different, we were all in different boats. And they started to have more compassion, or they were more outward facing with their compassion. And they were focusing on their team and the people, making sure that their team were okay, not just from a work perspective, but from what was going on. And I'm hoping that those habits continue, because you can still be an amazing leader by being people-centric, which is putting your people over profits, values-based, making sure what you are at your core comes through as a leader, and servant leadership. That's about serving others. And sometimes leaders or people in a high position struggle with being a servant leader. It's putting people before you. It's asking, what can you do to help them, not what can they do to help you?
That's very, very well put. Very, very nice. Well, listen, Kimberly, we've run out of time today for this broadcast. This has been a fascinating discussion with Dr. Kimberly Hambrick. She's based in Winfield, West Virginia, but it doesn't matter where you are, you can benefit from her advice and her help. All you have to do is go to her website, Kimberly Hambrick, Hambrick, HAMBRICK.com. Dr. Kimberly Hambrick. But you don't need the doctor for the website, just KimberlyHambrick.com. Dr. Hambrick, thank you so much. This has been a fascinating discussion. I appreciate all of your advice, and we thank you for being our guest. Okay? Amazing. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Doug.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.